my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burnt. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is all to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And the second reading comes from Ephesians 2, 1 to 10. And it's on page 1173, if you've got a church Bible. Made alive in Christ. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been called. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray for Mark and the children. We pray that through the written word, we pray that through the children's activities and through Mark's spoken word, we may hear the living word. Amen.
Well, what an amazing passage that passage from St. John's Gospel about the vine is. It's one of those great biblical images which take us into ideas of us as Jesus' disciples, as the branches rooted in him, the vine. And it's rich in symbolism for images of the church and our discipleship. The particular thing I want to point to in that passage is the word remain. I expect you noticed it was repeated a lot, 8 times in 8 verses. And remain comes from a Greek word, meno, and that the Romans coined from that Greek word, coined the Latin word manere or remanere, from which we get our word remain. But a literal translation of meno, the Greek word meno, is abide. And it's a favourite word in John's Gospel. So in the opening chapter, there's the story of John the Baptist's disciples who start to follow Jesus. And they ask Jesus, Rabbi, where are you abiding? Meno, where are you abiding? Now, the literal answer would be, well, I'm staying in this house in the village. But behind it and running throughout John's Gospel is a deeper question. What are you grounded in? What are your roots? What are your core values? In what do you abide? And the image of the vine in John's Gospel is the writer's attempt to answer that. For Jesus' disciples, what we abide in is Jesus himself. He is the vine, we are the branches. We abide in him, and he abides in us. We remain in him, and he remains in us. We live in him, and he lives in us. Now, as human beings, what we are rooted in shapes and colours the whole of our daily living. The foundations which our parents lay down for us in the beginning are part of that, but they're not the whole picture. The choices we make about what's important to us as we move from being children and teenagers into adults is vital too. And the choices we continue to make throughout adult life about what our key values and principles are shape the way we live and the things that we aspire to. Where we abide, what we are rooted in, affects everything. Our relationships, our work, the way we view our jobs, the way we use our money, how we spend our time. I remember trying to illustrate that in a family service in a church where I was vicar, and I had two white carnations, pure white carnations. And I put one in water, and I put the other in coloured ink. And gradually, you could see that the carnation in the ink began to change colour. Now, there wasn't time in the service for it to change colour completely, but there was sufficient time for it to begin to do so. And it was a good illustration that what we are rooted in changes and colours the person that we are. Now, for many in our society today, their roots seem to be in self-absorption, making sure that they and their families are as materially comfortable as they can be, sometimes to excess. Their roots are self-focused. Their ambition is for more and more. And there seems to be little in the way of self-giving or community service. They look selfishly inward and reject any need to be rooted in God. I don't know if you have ever seen Federico Fellini's film La Dolce Vita. It opens with a shot of a helicopter carrying a statue of Jesus across the sky. And a bit later we see a second helicopter carrying a young man who is a writer called Marcello. He comes from the countryside, but he is longing for the excitement of the city. And he finds it, but in the process, he loses his faith, and his hopes of fulfillment prove empty. Right at the end of the film, Marcello is depicted alone on a beach, looking at a dead fish washed up from the sea. The fish, cut off from the sea, from its source of life, has died. And Fellini leaves us to make the connection between the dead fish and Marcello, empty and faithless, no longer rooted, no longer abiding in the life-giving relationship which with God that he once had. Bishop Robert tells the story of going to a monastic conference when he was a Benedictine monk. I hope he'll forgive me for pinching his story. There were monks and nuns there from all around the world, and he remembers walking down a corridor and walking past a very fierce mother superior who was talking to a quaking novice, one of her novices, and she was from the United States, both of them, and as Bishop Robert passed, all he heard was the Mother Superior saying to this hapless, quivering novice, "Honey, you're just dead on the vine." The image of the vine challenges us with those key questions. Where do we abide? Where do we truly abide? Are we rooted in Christ and the values that he taught and modelled? Are they the sap which flows through our veins, shaping the decisions that we take and the way we live? Now, this autumn, you are focusing on the fruits of the Spirit, and today we are going to reflect on goodness. I want to suggest that a Christian understanding of goodness is that it is something which flows up like sap through us when we are rooted in Christ, when we remain and abide in him. Goodness is not for Christians an abstract value like it was for, say, Plato, which we can embrace or not by the way we live through our own efforts and actions. Nor is goodness something intrinsic to us, entirely separate from our relationship with God. Rather, in a Christian understanding, we grow in goodness only in and through our relationship with God. We are gifted that glimmer of goodness in the beginning when God created the world and saw that it was good. As a race and as individuals, we can hinder that glimmer within us, hinder it from growing. We can fall away from it. But if we abide in Christ as he abided in his Father, then it will flow like divine sap through us and grow within us. Goodness, in Christian terms, is inseparable from our relationship with God, our roots in Christ. I wanted to find out where the word goodness came from, and particularly whether the word was originally one letter shorter, that it was originally godness rather than goodness. So I googled origin of the word goodness, except I typed too hastily and I put in gin of the word goodness. And that came up with lots of wonderful suggestions about why gin is good for your health. But when I finally got to the right set of pages, I did find that the old English spelling of goodness was indeed godness, G-O-D-N-E-S, just a single S on the end. So it may well be that originally goodness did contain the idea of godness, of us being rooted in God and his qualities flowing like sap through us. So for the Christian, goodness is about being rooted in God, rooted in Christ like branches on the vine. And what that means in practice is that we are allowing the qualities of Christ to flow into us and through us. His compassion, reaching out to those on the edge, as he did with those who needed healing, like the woman who touched the edge of his garment. Christ's forgiveness and bridge building, as he did with so many, like Mary Magdalene, Zacchaeus, and Peter. His passion for fairness and justice, as in his treatment of women and his encounter with the 10 lepers. Christ's self-giving and sacrifice throughout his ministry, but most especially in Gethsemane and on the cross. Those are the manifestations of goodness, of godness, of godliness. And those are what grow and flow in us when we abide, remain, live in Jesus Christ and he in us. The good news in all of this is that it is God, through Jesus and his Holy Spirit, who is making the running and doing the work within us. The sap of goodness is his, and it is he who makes it rise within us. Our role is to want that to happen and to make the time and space in our lives to allow that to happen. Unlike the branches of a real vine, living in Christ doesn't just happen unthinkingly or without our choosing. we have to make an active commitment in the first place, usually through deciding to be baptized and confirmed. And then we have to go on nurturing that commitment, lest our faith withers, and we end up hearing the words of that Mother Superior echoing in our heads, "Honey, you're just dead on the vine." Remaining rooted in Christ means spending time with God in prayer. It means reading his word on our own and with others in house groups or wherever. It means worshipping him on Sundays. We need the company, the prayers, the stimulus, the love, the support of others to stay rooted in Christ. We need feeding. I remember someone saying that listening to sermons is like having meals. There are very few that you can look back on and actually remember, but where would you be without all the ones that you couldn't remember? You will have been fed by many sermons over the years, even if you can't remember them. There's also a story about someone consulting an elderly monk about going to church, and the person says, "Well, I don't really feel that I need to go to church to believe in God and maintain my faith. I can stay rooted in Jesus Christ without going to church." And they're sitting in front of a roaring fire, and the elderly monk says nothing. He simply picks up the tongs, reaches forward and takes a red-hot coal out of the fire and puts it on the hearth side. And of course, within a few minutes, the red-hot coal has ceased to glow red and is cooling and going dark. And then after a moment, he reaches back and picks up the coal again and puts it back in the fire. And almost instantly, it becomes glowing red once again. Coming to church, praying, reading our Bible keeps us glowing. It enables us to remain, to live, to abide in Jesus Christ. And when we do, God's goodness, Christ's qualities, like sap, flow and grow within us. One final thought. When we are rooted in Christ and God's goodness does rise in us, then like any vine, we bear fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But who is that fruit for? It's not primarily for our own benefit. The fruit that God draws out in us is there to feed others. We give it away. And that is the meeting of their needs. It's the sharing of the good news of the love of God with them, the planting of seeds, which, who knows, might lead them to become branches of the vine if they are not already. Archbishop William Temple famously said once that the church is the only organisation which exists for the benefit of its non-members. John's image of the vine is a visual example of that. The fruit is for the benefit of others. But that image is also a challenge to us. Challenge to ask, what am I rooted in? Where do I truly abide? Do I remain rooted in Christ through prayer, Bible study, and worship? And if we are rooted in Christ, then that goodness, that godness, that godliness will grow and flow through us, bearing that fruit that our world so badly needs. Let us pray. Good and loving God, we pray that by your grace by your Spirit, we may remain rooted in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that we may be vessels, channels through which your goodness flows. The fruits of the Spirit are born and flourish and are there to nourish others in the world around us. Root us in you, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.